The content of this program is meant for educational purposes only, because knowledge is power. However, the controversial subject matter discussed may not necessarily reflect the views of this station, its management, staff, or its advertisers. Change only happens when we, the people, become part of the solution. That's why more and more patriotic Americans are tuning in to the Power Hour. Now, here's your host, Dave Krieger.
And it's 12 noon Central Time where we are on this Tuesday. And boy, I tell you what, you couldn't, because of the piece that we ran with Greg Reese this morning, talking about UN troops and whatnot, and how they could be coming into this country under the guise of being a military-aged, you know, male that could end up being recruited to serve in the UN peacekeeping force. Really? I don't think so. No, they come up with Disease X and they have a lockdown and they start going house to house with medical teams trying to inject everybody with stuff. Like I said, come with a jab, leave with a bullet. Because I'm not going to tolerate it, and I think there's a lot of other Americans out there that aren't going to tolerate it either. So here's the thing. Tennessee just passed a bill, given what happened in the Nashville school. Now, see, we've always conditioned, I mean, this is America. We're reactive, we're not proactive. Well, because of a reactive issue involving a shooter who is trans that went and shot up a Christian school, she had a manifesto. She basically spelled it all out, and Governor Bill Lee and the legislature in Tennessee decided they were going to do something about it. We've reported on it on this show, and one of them was to let teachers pack heat. Oh, I'm all for that. And you're like, oh, no, they shouldn't allow that. What if they have to shoot a student that they've been educating all these years, and they're going to be real reluctant to do that? Well, here's the kicker, folks, and I've got Lee Williams from the Second Amendment Foundation down in Florida to explain a little bit of this, because see, in my book, if you have signs out there, instead of saying gun-free zone, say, don't be stupid, our teachers pack heat. I think that would stop the school shootings altogether, don't you, sir? Welcome to the show.
Well, thank you for the invite. Yeah, I couldn't agree more. These nutballs always end up attracted to gun-free zones. They're magnets for mayhem. And if you put up a sign saying, well, you know, we're going to fire back, they're going to go somewhere else. And, yeah, you know, if anybody that's critical of the Tennessee bill needs to look at the language. I mean, this is an incredibly restrictive bill. It's volunteer only. They need three letters. They need a letter from the principal saying that this person can carry. They need a letter from the CLEO, the chief law enforcement officer. Then they need a letter from a mental health professional saying they're good. Then they have to pass two background checks, submit two fingerprint cards. One goes to the TBI, the Tennessee Bureau of Investigation. The other one goes to the FBI. They have to pass both of those, and then they need 40 hours of training, firearms training. You know, I was a police officer before I became a journalist, and I think we spent about 40 hours on the use of deadly force. These teachers are going to be very well trained. They're not going to just willy-nilly shove a Glock in their purse. They're going to be trained, and they're going to know how to use the firearms with which they're going to be entrusted.
Hmm. So now, were you a police officer in Sarasota County?
No, I was police officer in Kansas.
Oh, there you go. What part?
Overland Park on the eastern side.
I know it well. Yeah, he was in the media in Kansas City. I know the area very well. I used to live there. Well, that's interesting. Now, the crime rate in a major metro area, is it starting to temper? Is it increasing? I mean, what do you see as far as the statistics being in a Second Amendment Foundation capacity?
Well, we're seeing crime in these blue cities, in these cities that have been historically controlled by Democrats, is out of control. Where I live here in Sarasota, and you know, I mean, crime is a non-issue. Our crime has actually gone down. But you're starting to also see the people in some of these cities, especially Chicago, understand that they have become their own first responders. I mean, the number one group of people right now buying more firearms than any other group are Black females, because they're sick and tired of being in a situation where they can't fight back. I've talked to a lot of them. I mean, there's drug deals being committed right outside their front doors. They want the means to defend themselves. It only makes sense if you live in Chicago or New York or LA or Oakland or any of these big cities, you need the means to fight back.
Well, I mean, but women in general, more women in general, not just black females, but white females, whatever, Hispanic females, they're all buying guns, you know, for self-defense. And they're learning how to shoot. And some of them are pretty good.
Yeah, that's what I strongly have always recommended, getting professional training. I mean, carrying a concealed firearm, it's a heady responsibility. A lot of people feel that, you know, they go out and they buy the firearm, they maybe get a holster. You're only half done with that equation. If you want to defend yourself properly with a firearm, you need professional training. And we are all about that.
Well, and the thing is, too, and this is something that, you know, when we're talking about concealed carry, I've talked to cops in Florida who have said, you know, there's a responsibility with concealed carry, and because you have a permit that puts you under the jurisdiction of the authorities. And I'm like, yeah, but I mean, there's a fine line, like you said, Lee. And I mean, you being former law enforcement, being in Sarasota County where the crime rate is low. And this is one of the reasons why, is that people like you got people like Grady Judd and Kurt Hoffman and people like that out there that are doing this. And I got a lot of good friends in the Northport Police Department and still do, which is in Sarasota County. It's its own little hamlet there to the south. But the thing is that you've got, you know, they're enforcing this, and you also have a stand your ground law, which is, you know, it kind of just embellishes the Castle Doctrine, which is virtually the same way. And you also do not have a duty to retreat. So the concealed carry aspect of this whole thing for people that are thinking about this, and they should be, people can stay in their home. But I remember what Grady Judd said when this stuff was getting ridiculous. He said, when they come to your door and they kick your door in, shoot them in the head, not the arm, not the leg, the head. Save us, the taxpayers, a bunch of money. I'm just like, wow. That's why I'm a member of the Florida Sheriff's Association, have been since 2012. This is for that very reason. And I always will support Kids Camp and everything else they got going on there, because they are a righteous organization that tries to do right by the citizens. I've rarely ever run into any law enforcement down there, and maybe it's just my luck, that has not abused the system.
No, and I couldn't agree more. Grady does speak the truth. Well, fortunately, last year we passed unlicensed carry, where right now, if you're a law-abiding citizen or a visitor to the state, you can carry a firearm without having to bend a knee and beg permission from the government to sell you back your Second Amendment rights in the form of a permit, or in our case here, a license. So I've been talking to Sheriff Hoffman here in Sarasota County quite regularly. He has not noticed any uptick in crime since the unlicensed carry went into effect. Matter of fact, I doubt we'll ever see one. Unlicensed carry, constitutional carry, permitless carry, whatever you want to call it, levels the playing field. It allows the good guys, law-abiding people, to carry a firearm a lot easier, because the bad guys have never cared about permits or licenses or anything like that. It levels the playing field, allows us to defend ourselves a lot easier.
Yeah. Now, there was just a recent case, Stephen Duarte case in California, the Ninth Circuit. I'm sure you guys have been paying attention to that, where basically the Ninth Circuit has just ruled that convicted felons that have been convicted of nonviolent offenses can possess a firearm for the means of self-defense. Have you read that case?
Yes, and I wholeheartedly endorse the judge's order on this. I mean, a nonviolent felony could be tax evasion. It could be some type of, you know, consumer fraud, whatever. These people should not be prohibited from being able to defend themselves.
But I mean, how are the sheriffs in Florida, where you are, how would they treat something like that if convicted felons possessed firearms down there and they had to use them in the act of saving themselves or their family with a stand your ground? I mean, are they going to get arrested and processed under 922,
no.
18? You know, see, I'm just kind of like beside myself on this whole thing, because some of these people, like what happened in Houston, Texas, they just had a shooting down there with a pizza delivery driver, and he claims he got robbed and he had to do self-defense. Now there's a 21-year-old black guy dead, but the guy was apparently delivering a pizza. But the Texas law enforcement goes, well, the grand jury's going to have to just, I said, it shouldn't even have to go that far.
No. And that's the kind of stuff that would not happen here. I mean, our sheriff's department right now are trained that if it's a defensive shooting, even a fatal one, they're not even going to take the firearm. they're not going to even disarm the guy. And I'm glad you mentioned stand your ground. I've never seen a law that has been so badly misunderstood than stand your ground. All it says basically is that you no longer have to have a duty to retreat. Before stand your ground, if I'm walking through a parking lot with my wife and somebody jumps out and points a pistol at us, I would have to look for a means of escape before I could engage in deadly force and probably get capped in the back. Now with stand your ground, I don't have to. I can meet deadly force with deadly force. But my God, the other team, they've called it a shoot to kill law. They've called it all kinds of craziness. It's not. It just basically takes away the duty to retreat. You can meet deadly force with deadly force.
And see, a lot of states, like Arkansas recently, they just removed the duty to retreat. I mean, you literally, if somebody breaks into your house, you have to back off, run and hide in the closet, and point the gun at the door, because if they open it, they're coming after you. And, you know, they come at you in a furtive and aggressive manner. I mean, I have peace officer friends of mine that have told me the same thing. I've had constables in Houston tell people I know your car is an extension of your property. And as long as you're within your property limits, no matter what happens, you know, if you're within the border of your property or if it's fenced in, you got no trespassing signs and they're coming in there to even try to steal your car. That's, you know, depriving you of property. And see, this is the fine line that I was trying to get Grady Judd on the program. I'm glad you came on, Lee, and that you're a former law enforcement, because I couldn't get Grady Judd's people to get me to get him on here, because I really like these things he's doing on YouTube, talking about the crime that's being committed and the justifiable shooting by either people trying to defend themselves using stand your ground, or by officers who just had no choice. I mean, it's shot or be shot. You discharge the firearm and yeah, you're going to get put on administrative leave. But the fact of the matter is, people there seem to respect this, and that, you know, it's one of the things a lot of these states just haven't gotten a handle on. I mean, the guy that does the shooting, they automatically take away his weapon. I mean, look what happened to Brian Malinowski. I mean, that was another little miniature Waco in his house. I don't understand that at all, because, you know, and the thing is Mike Huckabee, Jim Jordan, I mean, everybody is like, look, we back the blue.
I've written five stories.
I want to hear this. I want to hear this from you. I want to hear it from you. Go ahead.
I've written five stories on Malinowski, and having kicked down more than a few doors, let's put it that way, ATF murdered that man. They had serious, less lethal options available. You know, a lot of people don't understand. They had a search warrant. They did not have an arrest warrant. They had a warrant to search his property, continue their investigation. They knew where he worked. They could have gone to the airport. The guy was executive director of the Little Rock Airport. Okay, they could have picked him up at work and said, hey, we have a warrant to search your home. They could have stopped him on the way home. They could have called his attorney and said, hey, turn your client in. We're going to be searching his home. We want him here. We want him nice and safe. They had 10 squad cars there, 10 undercover vehicles, but they all had emergency equipment. If they would have turned on the red lights, his whole neighborhood would have been bathed in flashing red light. He would have known right away it was the police. More importantly, they could have knocked or rang the doorbell and waited for him to answer.
But they covered up the camera.
They covered up the camera. They kicked the door in. He wakes up from a sound sleep at 6 a.m. in the morning, thinks, oh, my God, it's a home invasion, goes out, starts trading gunfire. ATF claims he shot first. We have no idea whether that's true or not, because none of them were wearing a body camera. Okay, go to the smallest police department in your jurisdiction, in the county you live. I don't care if it's one man, one officer, two officer, three officer. They have body cams. They have 1/1,000,000,000th of the budget that ATF has. Supposedly ATF, none of the guys are wearing body cams. Anyway, shooting starts. Mr. Malinowski is shot twice in the head with a carbine. ATF murdered him. They did not have to do that. And his attorney, who is a former attorney general,
Bud Cummins, yeah,
and a powerhouse.
Oh yeah.
Said, okay, let's say that he was completely guilty of all this crap that ATF accused him of, selling firearms without a federal firearms license. These are licensing crimes. Okay. Even if he was found guilty, he wouldn't have gone to prison. He would have got some time for pretrial diversion or probation. I mean, they knew where he was. They could have called him on his cell phone and said, hey, Brian, we're outside. We're stacked up. We got a search warrant. The reason they knew his cell phone number is they had a warrant to monitor his cell phone.
Well, they were tracking his vehicle, too. They had a tracker on his vehicle. They knew where he was.
Instead, they chose the most lethal option. Now, unfortunately, when a law enforcement officer uses deadly force, there's two investigations that happen. The first one is done by the local law enforcement authorities to determine whether or not the officer should be charged with murder. The second is done by his agency, by his employer, to determine whether or not he violated policy. But we all know ATF isn't going to do a damn thing. They're not going to determine that that officer violated policy. Why do we know this? Well, they don't give a damn about the sanctity of human life. Okay, they never have, never will. So the first investigation was conducted by Arkansas State's Police Criminal Investigation Division. Unfortunately, the colonel, the director of the state police, just announced that they never factored in the tactics, the poor raid tactics that ATF has chosen. So they're not going to charge this guy. ATF agent, and I've just wrote an opinion column on it, an analysis column, ATF is going to walk on this, despite the fact that their actions led to this man's needless death.
Now it makes me wonder if they're not going to file some sort of civil action against the government. Yeah. I mean, they made his wife in her night clothes sit in that car for hours, handcuffed, while they trashed the place, and then they wouldn't release the body. He was an organ donor, apparently. I mean, all these things that I'm just looking at this thing, and I keep saying jackbooted fascist thugs, because this is the way they behave. Rules of engagement change to whatever they want, and they're never held accountable for it, and this is a problem. Yes, I back the blue. I'm a member of multiple sheriff's associations and CSPOA, and I'm just like, look, I mean, if a cop was in trouble and I was there and I had the means to defend him and have his back, I would. That's how much I back the blue. Risk my life and my neck to save the cop. But, you know, I mean, it's what I believe in. That's part of our constitutional right, no matter what. And so, you know, I got to take issue with what the ATF did. And I'm sorry, folks, up at the federal level up there, that agency right there has got to be, you have to start holding them accountable. And I doubt that Jim Jordan is going to get anywhere with Stephen Dettelbach in those hearings. I just think the whole thing's going to get swept under the rug. It's a political shift show, and I got a real problem with it. But I want to get back to Tennessee here, Lee. Mike in Tennessee is on the phone. Mike, are you commenting about the Tennessee teachers now allowing to carry guns?
All of the above. The situation is what we're dealing with is more or less a banana republic. And you have enclaves in Tennessee as well as any other state where there's no accountability in law enforcement. I've been attacked, railroaded myself, former caller to this show with Joyce many times, deemed her sister Tim Katz. And so I go way back with the show and spent 7 years in the BOP falsely accused. And the system is rigged. And those people that are out there doing it right and trying to expose this corruption, they're railroaded or they're murdered. And apparently he had something that they wanted to make sure didn't see the light of day. No different than David Koresh, who had something that tied in the governor of Arkansas, one Bill Clinton, with the MENA operation that they wanted to make sure it didn't see the light of day. And of course, the only way to make sure that it didn't see the light of day was to burn the complex down. So that's the reason they do certain things the way they do them.
Yeah, but see, the thing is,
you're talking earlier today.
Yeah, we're talking about this situation here with having to defend yourself and what the Tennessee authorities will do versus what, you know, Florida sheriffs will do. Every jurisdiction is different. And I mean, that's just one of the crazy things. But, you know, we want to address the fact that teachers are now allowed in Tennessee to carry guns. And I really want to find out from Lee Williams, the average person out there, and how they're supposed to look at the fact that the Ninth Circuit in Duarte just ruled that convicted felons that have not committed violent crimes. I'm sure this is going to get challenged all the way to the Supreme Court, because, see, they've every time they try to strip away a right, you know, we the people suffer. And this has been a problem because, see, nonviolent offenders should be able to defend themselves and their families. I mean, Biden's giving all these convicted felons the right to vote. I mean, it's part, and I'm looking at this thing going, oh, wait a minute. You're only giving them back half their right. What about the right to defend themselves? See, this is why we get into these Second Amendment arguments. And I mean, they obviously addressed Bruin. They addressed Heller. I mean, they literally could not find any reason why Duarte should not be allowed. And they vacated his 51-month sentence in California. So, you know, it's kind of one of those crazy things. But now, from what Lee Williams was just saying, teachers have to go through rigorous training. And the thing is that I really believe that this is going to stop, especially if they advertise that the school is packing heat and these people will not come there. The reaction, the blowback, yeah, we're being persecuted. I understand that. I know we're being persecuted. Everybody gets persecuted. And yes, I thought when I first started making calls regarding Brian Malinowski that it was possible that he had something about the Clintons, because he was the executive director, after all, of Hillbillery National Airport in Little Rock. And so maybe he knew something, maybe he didn't. But to actually change the rules of engagement to take him out, I mean, I kind of think that. I'm not putting my tinfoil hat on, but I kind of think that my friends were first telling me from their inside information, the ATF that handled this was out of New Orleans. They were the ones directing what the Little Rock office was doing, because the New Orleans Bureau is the one that runs Arkansas, Mississippi, and, you know. So, you know, I kind of side with you there that, you know, they're going to get away with whatever they can get away with, and they will falsely charge people to keep them out of the way. Thanks for your call. Lee, back to this again. What have these people, have there been, how's the response been since Bill Lee signed this into law?
Oh, I mean, the other team just went absolutely crazy. They're still going crazy. But it's like any time that our Second Amendment rights are restored, and notice the word I use, restored, or anytime a bill is out there being debated, it's going to be blood in the streets, going to be shootouts over parking spots. Well, I'm looking at the street right out here, and it's not running red with blood. Florida took it one step further. I should say we have what's called the Guardian Program, where we have a non-teacher, a non-educator, usually a veteran, usually a combat veteran. So they have pulled a trigger before. Mm-hmm. They're armed. They're given a plate carrier. They're given a Glock and a long gun, and they're posted at schools. They don't teach, they don't mentor, they don't counsel kids. Their sole responsibility is the safety of the teachers and the students. They're out in front of the schools when the kids are being dropped off. They're out in front of the schools when the kids are being picked up. They're highly visible. They're very, very, very well trained, more than 40 hours. And if a bad guy comes on that property, they're going to shoot him in the face. We have not had a single incident at any Florida school where there's a guardian. It's a great program.
Well, I know, and I remember reporting on that for the radio station down there when that first came about. Now, the thing that I wonder, have any of the parents complained about the fact that their kid is intimidated because there's somebody there in full military fatigues? I mean, it is, you know, when you see they're carrying an AR-15 yeah. with a 30-round clip. I mean, come on, it's a little bit intimidating. So I'm just wondering, has there been any pushback from parents about it, or are they all in favor of it?
There have been some pushback. I've talked to a couple of senior administrators. Oh. There was initial pushback, but faced with the opposite, faced with the fact of a bad guy coming onto that property, I think they're learning to deal with it. And these are nice guys too. I mean, and they're, like I said, they're all combat veterans. They all know what they're doing. They all know how to safely handle their firearms, and they can all shoot. So I think it's a great program.
I'm sure they can. And so, I mean, I'm sure that they collectively review their backgrounds to make sure they are not suffering from PTSD, because that would be a real serious thing if that ever came into fruition and people started reacting because of that the wrong way. And that's something I always worry about, even though I don't suffer from it. There's a lot of people who do, and it's unfortunate. It's just one of those things about combat vets. Sometimes you just can't get away from it. But anyway, the circumstances are such that this program, people need to understand the difference. And this is the one thing I want to get to while we still have 5 minutes left. As far as how people should react if they are a homeowner inside their home, I've always used the threshold rule. Running outside to shoot somebody, I don't think is justifiable. Now, if somebody tries to kick in your front door without identifying themselves, like if you're police or whatever, and this is something obviously did not happen with Malinowski and something you said you've kicked in doors before, you would at least say police. So people would know, okay, this is not a home invasion. And if they were doing something criminal, because there have been times, as you are well aware, that people have kicked in doors, police have kicked in doors, and it was the wrong house.
Yeah.
So, you know, I mean, there is no overcoming that. I mean, there is going to be pushback on that from the other side. But the thing is that, you know, for the benefit of our listeners, what's the general rule about self-defense, no matter what?
Well, since you threw law enforcement in the mix, I would never open my door unless I knew who was on the other side. Okay, there are so many tools out there right now. These Ring cameras are great. If you see guys obviously out there stacked up wearing law enforcement uniforms, that's one thing. But yeah, don't open your door unless you know who's on the other side, number one. And number two, late night, I mean, I would have been Malinowski. I would have armed myself. Now, the problem that I have, the big problem with that raid is there was no need for a no-knock. You use a no-knock raid when there's a danger of evidence being destroyed, like if you had a couple ounces of cocaine or heroin or fentanyl. They were after paperwork. They were after guns. He's not going to flush those down the toilet. And besides, simply put, this guy wasn't a flight risk.
No.
He wasn't somebody you needed to worry about. But like ATF, they've never been held accountable. Waco, Ruby Ridge, Fast and Furious have all taught us that. They're never going to hold any of their own accountable because they don't believe in the sanctity of human life. I firmly believe that. And I'm sorry to say it, but it's true.
I mean, this is the thing. They got to live with themselves for what they did. Now, whether they are just a bunch of reprobates and don't care, they're up there and the federal government is telling, don't worry, we'll protect you. It's like, wow. Yeah. You know, I mean, this is just wrong. I mean, now we have an authoritarian government and we, the people, have to face the fact that at some point in time, we may have to defend ourselves. And if somebody kicks in that front door and doesn't identify themselves as law enforcement with the reason why they're there. The other thing I saw an attorney on a video one day saying, first off, even if law enforcement answers the door, because we just had a guy up at Hurlburt Field that worked at Hurlburt, they mm-hmm. came in the wrong apartment, they shot him to death, he got a gun, they wouldn't identify themselves as the police, they were there answering a noise disturbance call. You remember that story?
Yeah.
And I'm like, wait a minute, what are you guys doing? You should have said, this is the police. We're here on a disturbance call, but they didn't identify themselves. He thought somebody was going to kick his door in. Well, they did. And he was armed. And when they saw the gun, they ripped six shots into him and killed the guy. He was a current military officer, sergeant, whatever.
Airman,
yeah. I'm just like blown away by this. You know, why? Yeah. What do they do? And then you got to take the gun away and the administrative leave and all this other stuff while you investigate why you broke into the wrong apartment. I mean, the guy was on FaceTime with his girlfriend, for crying out loud. So how do you think that's going to get resolved?
A tragedy. Just because someone has a gun, it doesn't give anybody license to shoot them. The gun was not a threat. Mere possession of a firearm does not justify deadly force. And unfortunately, that's what happened.
Yeah, this is a sad state of affairs. So we pretty much have gone through the idea here about concealed carry options and whether or not, because you got Stand Your Ground, you got Castle Doctrine, you got Guardian, you got all these things in Florida that are working in your favor. Why would you want to go get a concealed carry permit? You really wouldn't have to, would you?
No, and I'm so libertarian. I don't want to ask the government to sell me back my constitutional rights.
Thank you.
And right now, because, you know, there are 29 states that allow constitutional carry, I can travel from here to Ohio, where I have family, carrying concealed without a license.
That's amazing. Now you don't even have to check in with the local authorities. I mean, that's what I like about this. And I think the more that states realize the propensity for crime to be committed, especially by the influx of all these illegal immigrants.
Oh, yeah.
I think people are really going to start arming themselves if they haven't done so already. Lee Williams, thank you so much for being on the show.
My pleasure.
It is a blessing to talk to you, sir. Keep up the good work.
Thank you so much. My pleasure.
Thank you. We'll be back with more news and conversations after these words. Stay with us.
For the past 20 years, the Power Mall has been a trailblazer, leading the way in providing our customers with only the best health, wellness, and readiness products. We have worked hand in hand, helping to grow many small businesses, and we continue to provide exceptional customer service, educating our customers so they can make informed purchases. You can shop with confidence, knowing that we have personally vetted every product that we offer. Your health and well-being means so much to us. We have championed voting with your dollars. And when you shop with the Power Mall, you're helping to keep ever so important and often censored health information in the forefront. Buy from the good guys. Shop thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com. Or call 877-817-9829.
Come to the Power Mall today and purchase Mediterranean Black Seed Oil from North American Urban Spice. Exclusively from the genetic source and never standardized. Cold pressed, it's so good it supports cardiovascular, respiratory, immune, digestive, neurologic health, and so much more. Said to be good for everything but death itself, come find the best prices on Black Seed capsules or 8-ounce varieties when you visit thepowermall.com. Or call 877-817-9829 to purchase.
Hi, this is Jay at the Power Mall. I have a good friend with me here today. She has been taking the calcium bentonite clay that she purchased from the Power Mall for many, many years now. And I asked her to sit with me and explain to the listeners what she uses the clay for.
Thanks. So just to let you know, we use it on a daily basis. I will put a teaspoon of calcium bentonite clay into a glass of water and drink it before bed for detox. We've done weekly foot soaks for my husband who has diabetes. We use it for facials. I use it once a week for my clay bath detox. We've used it on spider bites, insect bites, and I've also used it for the swelling in my ankle after surgery.
Oh, yes, I do remember when you had the surgery. To order the clay, please call 877-817-9829 or go to thepowermall.com. Boost your immune system naturally this year with oil of oregano, a potent germ killer. This is the true wild oregano oil P73, a blend of edible spices of wild oregano grown on natural mineral-rich soils. Research published in the International Journal of Food Microbiology found that oil of oregano is an excellent germicide capable of killing a wide range of fungi and bacteria. Get it today by visiting thepowermall.com or calling 877-817-9829.
Many Americans are growing increasingly concerned about the rapidly growing U.S. government deficits. Recognizing that the additional printing of paper money devalues U.S. currency. To compensate, American gold and silver coins will provide wealth protection. U.S. Coin Capital provides physical gold and silver coins delivered directly to our clients. You can reach us at 1-800-878-2646, uscoincapital.com.
Why invest in all the great natural supplements from the Power Mall and then use a toothpaste loaded with harmful synthetic chemicals like fluoride? You want really healthy checkups, right? People who switch to Vitamir toothpaste and mouthwash are reporting healthy-looking gums and whiter teeth. Both the Vitamir toothpaste and mouthwash are formulated with natural products like zinc, folic acid, cloves, and myrrh. It's nature's answer to preventing plaque, reducing the development of cavities, and promoting healthy teeth and gums. Vitamir toothpaste comes in original formula and also with CoQ10 and xylitol, as well as in a great-tasting orange-flavored children's formula, too. Get Vitamir toothpaste and mouthwash from the Power Mall today, and you, too, can have healthy checkups. Call 877-817-9829. Or order from thepowermall.com.
Noon Central Time. And we're back. Dave Krieger with you on the Power Hour. Thank you so much for joining us. Phone lines are open. Yep, 844-769-2944. When you hear the little message come on there, just wait for the prompts, press 1, and you're there. And we appreciate, you know, your participation in the show and let us know what's going on. And I understand that there's been a lot of injustice done to many of us out there that, you know, we try to take the patriotic role, we try to be good American citizens, and we still get beat up. Brian Malinowski was an extreme case, and I'm not going to let go of it, folks. That is another Waco, Ruby Ridge. Rules of engagement don't exist or change. I mean, it's just one of those things that we have to be prepared for. But again, if they do not identify themselves. This isn't legal advice. This is just common sense. If the people that are knocking at your door do not identify themselves and they attempt to break in and they don't say law enforcement, you have to assume it's a home invasion, just like Malinowski did, just like Lee Williams just said. And he's ex-law enforcement. So he sees what's going on here. I know many of you don't, you know, just you can't kowtow. You know, people ask me if I die for what I believe in. Well, there you go. You know, I believe in the Second Amendment. I believe in all the amendments. It's a Bill of Rights. I mean, we have the right to do certain things up to the point in time where it infringes on somebody else's liberty. And then we've got the surveillance state garbage going on that I want to get back to here. Because, see, you get the latest vehicle. These automakers just love to wow us with the latest infotainment systems, Sirius XM, and all that other stuff. And it isn't just to move more cars. The private data these apps gather inside the cars, oh, it's a nice secondary income stream for these companies. Dutch conglomerate Stellantis, which owns Ram, Dodge, Jeep, and Chrysler, among other brands, harvests so much data out of these vehicles, it had to start up a separate company to sell it. So you go right out and you buy these late model cars. If your vehicle's got any kind of connectivity, see, that's why, you know, right now, as of, I can't wait till next January, I'm going to get rid of my Nissan pickup. I'm getting rid of it. Because I didn't program in there where my house was. No, it automatically did that for me. So it's like, okay, this is going away. I'm going to take the battery apart. I'm going to do whatever it takes to rid that system of all of its memory and end of story. See, and the thing is, if your vehicle's got any kind of connectivity at all, chances are you're inadvertently consented, and you have. You buy that car, you have inadvertently consented to having all sorts of your data tracked from your location, direction to travel, your speed, in-car audio recording. Whatever it is you're doing, what you listen to, you don't sign these agreements at the dealership, nobody's going to hand you any paperwork. They're going to confirm you understand what you're agreeing to before you click confirm. When you go read that stuff on your app, you buy your car, you go to use one of the integrated services like the built-in apps, the radio maps, the Wi-Fi, the autonomous driving features, the phone connectivity, loading your address book. Oh, they got a record of everything. All those email addresses, everything in your phone, goes right into the car. A screen pops up requiring you to agree the terms of service. Most of it's just, whatever. Yes. We want the convenience. See, it's all about that. Where's the getcha? You can opt out if you can figure out how. Some services automatically activate if you don't withdraw consent within a certain time period. Often as short as a week. That isn't even giving enough time to get used to the vehicle. This information is buried deep in the fine print, folks. And Apple CarPlay, a lot of people have more faith in Apple's information protection than most do in SiriusXM, but they partner with Guardian, a new company that no one really knows anything about. Their companies hope people will assume it's part of their satellite radio service, but it's got nothing to do with satellite radio. You can call SiriusXM and get the radio service without the extra security service, but most people don't know that. All right? Android Auto and Google-based devices are even worse for protecting your privacy on a computer. Consumers can safeguard their information by using browsers Brave or DuckDuckGo. I sometimes have a problem with DuckDuckGo too, folks. On the road, they've got no such option, at least for now. GM OnStar system, hello, welcome to the rodeo, folks. Quite adept at hovering up anything, everything about its users. Their global B architecture standard in the C8 Corvette, most new Cadillacs, constantly uploads your info, enables your GM to monitor and even disable your vehicle. See, that's the real problem. Boy, when they can shut down your car in the event of a crash, guess what? GM receives the data on your speed, your braking, your reaction time, as well as the location of the other vehicles. I mean, you know, it keeps GM from getting sued, but it, you know, what does it do with the insurance companies? They look at that. The government looks at that. And they go, sorry, but you're at fault. So if you're in a state that doesn't have no fault, oh my, are you in trouble? See, Texas and Florida are that way, no fault states. Now let's talk real quick before we go to the phones here about this energy and environment garbage. Vermont climate bill would demand oil companies pay for extreme weather events. Now, just imagine, you Vermonters, I mean, you let your legislature pass this thing? You need to be calling up. I mean, what's to stop? Because if they don't construct this legislation in such a way other than just a simple, okay, we said so, be it known that, you know, see, and they make all these phony declarations about climate change that oil companies are directly responsible. They don't know that. There's no scientific data to back it up. But yet they want to put that in writing, and then they want to penalize all the oil companies that do business in that state every time they get a major snowstorm, which is virtually every year. So what would happen if the oil companies decided, you know what, we don't have to put up with this. We're going to close our gas stations all over the state of Vermont, and we're going to leave the state. We don't need this abuse. What would happen then? Think about that. Climate Superfund Act. There's my raspberry for today. Oh, my. Yeah, I got some other stuff. I want to talk about what Governor Sarah Sanders just did. First, let's go to the phones. Brady, quick minute. Go ahead.
Yeah, good morning, Dave. I just heard yesterday what the BRICS is doing now with the gold situation. Instead of the dollar being used as like the backing for gold, they're using 1 gram of gold will now equal 1 barrel of oil. So once this goes through in Russia and everybody adopts this policy, 1 gram of gold for 1 barrel, the dollar is dust. You're going to see overnight probably a 50% collapse in the value of the dollar.
Yeah, they're basically saying India is joining
with
us.
No longer. The petrodollar is gone, Dave. And
yep.
We're just living in a world right now. It's like the sand in the hourglass. It's dwindling out. And before you know it, if you don't convert your dollars to something other than paper money or fiat money, you're going to be poor and out on the street.
Yep, I appreciate that. Thanks for the comment. In your call, Kevin in Ohio. Good morning, sir. Well, good afternoon where you are. I guess we're in afternoon. You're in Eastern time.
definitely afternoon.
Yep, all
right. Just a few quick comments. Number one, in Ohio, they passed a law about 3 years ago now that all the school teachers had to receive firearms training, mm-hmm. and my neighbor was doing some of that, teaching teachers. And I don't see that as a very successful thing, because who are the teachers? The libtards, right? Majority of them. Now, in the rural schools and stuff, I think it's got to be a big plus. And secondly, did you report on the death of the woman named Heather Idona, I believe her name was, the pro-life activist?
No.
No? Did you read about her? Because
I heard things. I haven't read it, no. I just heard somebody by that name was murdered.
Well, she wasn't murdered. She was arrested for pro-life activism in D.C., Michigan, and Tennessee. Well, she was being held pre-trial for her activities in D.C., and they brought her to court, 64-year-old grandmother with 15 children, brought her into court with shackles.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Then they had her in prison since last fall, and this just happened, I think, late April here. They held her in solitary confinement for 22 days, lights on, 24 hours a day, let her out at night to walk the halls for 2 hours. And that episode, it killed her.
Mm-hmm.
It just killed her. So, you know, the Antifa and everybody else, right? OK, okay, they don't do that to them, but somebody trying to save babies. And then there's another woman, I think she's 71 years old. She's one of the, like, four of the participants. And they have her in jail, prison. And she needs a hip replacement. They won't give her any pre-treatment in the prison.
I did read about that.
So, yeah, this is horrible. And lastly, I have a new term. Instead of calling this a banana republic, it should be called a banana democracy. That's what I think it is.
Yeah. Yeah, nothing that's to do a good with one. No, it doesn't have anything nothing to do with the republic. Good point. Good point.
Thank you, Dave.
All right. I appreciate it, Kevin. God bless you. Thanks for your donations, too, by the way. We appreciate you. Keeping a show on the air for 2024, folks. Phone lines are open. Jay and Linda are taking phone calls. If you want to talk to a live human being, 877-817-9029 is the number to call. Keep us on the air. See, just a little mention. This is in the telethon. But see, people out there like Kevin are saving up the dollar bills and sending them in when they get enough of them, and they call the show and they buy the Vitamir toothpaste when they call the Power Mall. And, you know, see, that keeps us going. Look, I mean, we're having conversations that are pertinent, right? I mean, we're going to be talking about EMP, I think, and a bunch of other stuff later in the week. Survival food. I mean, we really need to start paying attention to this. I realize they're saying 2 years. 2 years worth of survival food. And people are going, what? I mean, if you don't have a garden that is crunching that kind of food, a victory garden that's keeping your pantries and your root cellars and your stockpiles completely jammed, you need to be stocking up. Just the way it is. I mean, we don't say stuff like this for no reason. Now, here's something else. Governor Sanders. I want to talk about her for a second. She is Mike Huckabee's daughter. She is now the governor of Arkansas. She goes by Sarah Sanders, not Sarah Huckabee Sanders, you know, trying to distance herself. But it's okay. Let's not go there. But you see, there was an opinion out in Epic Times by Mark Bauerlein worthy of discussion that I wanted to bring up. Governor Sanders is now saying, ban the phones. You're going, huh? She sent this month to governors of all the 50 states and legislators in her own state of Arkansas, right? She sent a copy of Jonathan Haidt's book, The Anxious Generation, How the Great Rewiring of Childhood is Causing an Epidemic of Mental Illness, which compiles persuasive evidence of the impact of the smartphone and the effect it's had emotionally on the condition of teens. Politico actually wrote, it's causing them to drop out of life, how phones warped Gen Z. Time Magazine's Jonathan Haidt, Putting Down the Screen, the American Enterprise Institute's April 8th American Dream Lecture Series. So Governor Sanders read the book, went, oh my God, he's right. So she is endorsing his policy recommendations, which are no smartphones before high school, no social media before the age of 16, phone-free schools, more outdoor play and childhood independence. You know, and I just about bought into that until I thought about the kid that's got type 1 diabetes, that's wearing an insulin pump that's connected to his smartphone that monitors between the nurse and his parents as to his insulin levels, and it constantly is monitoring that and transmitting through his smartphone. And he has, like, I don't know, Snapchat or Instagram or some little, I don't know, not TikTok. But he's got some app out there that's sending these messages to the school nurse that if he goes into a diabetic coma, somebody's got to know about it. So you take that smartphone away, you might as well take the kid out of school. So I said, wow. I mean, even though these are blunt, sweeping descriptions and each one should be implemented immediately, according to Ms. Sanders, And everybody says, look, they're absolutely right. This has caused a whole bunch of neurotic kids, all the way from millennials to today's Gen Z youth. They're being messed with by these cell phones. The phone, you know, we thought, oh, it's naive. It's no big deal. I mean, we can keep track of our kids and, you know, but it connected teens to other teens, kids their own age, who brought all the traits of peer pressure, group dynamics, sexual curiosity, emotional instability into the system. Youths could be more social than ever before with each other to a grievously unhealthy situation, including sexting. Oh, yeah, there you are. You're a young girl and some boy is texting you a picture of his gonads, among other things. And you're like, ah, gross. Well, she saw it. This is about as bad as the transgender going into a school in Virginia and raping a freshman just because he gets to wear a skirt. This is about as bad as a man walking into Planet Fitness's women's locker room and beginning to start shaving and undressing himself just because he identifies as a woman. Well, if you're going to identify as a woman, there's no sense in you just stopping with shaving. Why don't you go get a full SRS, you know, since you're so into that? See, if you're going to identify as a woman, you need to be one. That means you need to take off all of it. All of it. So you can't use it on women. And you need to go on all that junk that is causing people to commit suicide to realize, and a lot of that's why these detransitioners are like, oh my God, don't go there. Don't do that. See, this is the devil's work. But I mean, if you're going to be the guy that goes into the women's locker room, nah. Sorry. No, you should be shaving before you come into Planet Fitness. This is just gross. Women don't need to see that. No, you're just doing it because you want to make a statement. That's why. Well, I looked at what the state of Florida is doing with DeSantis. A cell phone in the hands of a teen is a curse to its owner, a lure whose costs far outweigh the benefits, according to this opinion. Silicon Valley no longer has the cachet of 2006. Tech gurus and entrepreneurs seem now like antisocial characters, a little odd and power hungry, not the heightened visionaries they once claimed to be. The real innovators of the present time are the ones saying no to the digital wave. All right, so what do we do? I got a thought. I'll let you weigh in on it. Shut down the public schools. Oh, the teachers are going to love that. Oh, no, I got one better. I got one better. Don't panic. You libtard teachers out there are freaking out just because I said it. There's a better place for you. First off, they need to screen you to make sure you're not one of those deviants, because there's probably at least, I don't know, maybe 60 or 70 cases around the country where teachers who have put their hands on their mouths where they shouldn't be on our students. Oh, yeah. There's so many molestation of minor issues going on right now all across the country. They're looking for one of them. She's Asian. She apparently had sex with her student multiple times, and now she's on the lam. She got fired from her job. But see, it's a little late for that. Kids are already screwed up. So we're going to have to filter out these pedophiles from the people that really care, and a certain amount of them. You know, if they got student loans that they got to pay off, well, you know, I mean, that's why they go into public education, is because they get all these perks, benefits, including the possibility of getting their student loan forgiven. But when you shut down the public schools, you got to have a replacement for that. So here's my thought. Make homeschooling mandatory. You know, stop with the cell phone. You won't need cell phones if you're at homeschool. Because all the kids are gathered right there and the parents are participating, the grandparents are participating, a teacher is participating, they're teaching them reading, writing, arithmetic, they're teaching them the basic skills. And whoa, what are you going to do with all these school buildings? Turn them into trade schools. Let the teachers teach trades that actually are needed in this country. Plumbers, HVAC, air conditioning, engineering. I mean, anything that you can get in and out of a school in 6 to 12 months. That's what you teach. You look at the needed skills, you assess. I mean, but Bruce Goodmanson wrote a book on it, on how to not have to pay all these student loans. You see how we could alleviate all this debt? You wouldn't need the Department of Education. Each state could monitor its own. Parents need to be made accountable as to what their kids are learning, not just wait until it's all over. And then you got somebody like Scott Smith busting into a school board meeting and getting thrown to the ground and beat up and arrested. And they also need to learn the golden rule. That's another thing they don't teach in schools anymore. Eliminate school funding from property taxes. Turn the schools into trade schools funded by private entities, not the state. If they want to apply for endowments, let them. Not NGOs either. They're going to use them for migrant shelters like the one in Massachusetts, a vague state. God. You know, see, and what else will that do? If they go to trade school, it's going to eliminate the four-year libtard institutions and put more necessary and qualified workers into the workplace where they can make a decent living right out of high school. Isn't that a much better solution? What do you think? I don't know. Do you think? Yeah. Terry in New York. Good morning, sir. Afternoon, actually. Quick second. I guess we lost you. All right. So what do you think about that? We always welcome your comments at support@thepowerhour.com. I had to go there. I did. But this is too important. See, we can all get proactive somehow, right? In the meantime, we'll be back with our Hump Day edition tomorrow. Do something nice for somebody else. Walk in love. Shop the Power Mall. Phone lines are open right now. 844-769-2944. Dave Krieger, it's been a blessing. Thank you for your calls and your participation today and to our guests. In the meantime, God bless you and God bless the United States of America. See you tomorrow.
Harmful organisms are everywhere affecting your health and well-being. Fortunately, there's a solution. Paratrax is a unique formula designed to help create an environment that's hostile to invading organisms. Made with a blend of herbs and other natural ingredients such as wormwood, which has often been used in traditional medicine as a dewormer. If unwanted organisms are affecting your health, Paratrax can help bring it all back in balance. Order today from thepowermill.com or call 877-817-9829. Are you tired of trying to figure out how to get all your fruits and vegetables into your busy lifestyle? OptiVita Complete Essentials provides you with 22 whole food vitamins and minerals, 29 fruits and vegetables, probiotics, antioxidants, and botanicals for ultimate health and nutrition. 30 individual packs, now less than $3 per day. Get your OptiVita Complete Essentials by calling 877-817-9829. Or order online at thepowermall.com.
I don't know where to start. There's so many products you guys offer. I think one of the first things I ever ordered from you guys was your clay. The clay is miraculous. I could not do without that. And the charcoal, you know, you can get yourself in a bathtub to kind of help take the toxins out. So just those two alone, but I could go on to the OptiVita Silver Lozenges. Of course, then the Oregaresp and the P73, the oil of oregano, and your Vitamir toothpaste. Again, I could go on and on and on.
Call Jay at thepowermall.com and receive superior customer service. Call 1-877-817-9829 right now. That number again is 1-877-817-9829. Support small businesses and buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.
My husband is a welder by trade, but he grinds his welding products, and he doesn't wear a helmet or a mask. to do that. And he had this cruddy stuff in his lungs, and it just wasn't going away. And I heard you one time talking about the Sera enzyme for the lungs. And my goodness, I mean, he can breathe so much easier, and I don't hear that crud in his lungs. Thank you so very much.
To find out more about this product or others like it, go to our website at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com. Call 877-817-9829. That number again is 877-817-9829. Jay's standing by to take your call. Now more than ever, we need your support. Buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.